be a congregational dog. And he was visiting, or he had some friends visiting his home, and he was bragging about his dog and showing the tricks about going to get the Bible and all that. And somebody spoke up and said, "Well, does the dog do normal tricks?" He said, "I don't know." He said to the dog, he said, "Sit." And the dog sat. He told the dog, "Roll over." The dog rolled over. He said to the dog, "Heel." He jumped up on the back of the chair, put his paw on the top of the master's head, and started to howl. And the pastor said, "Oh no, he's a Pentecostal dog." Sign that says, "Can you answer the question millions can't answer?" We put that along the walkway of an event and challenge people to look in the box. And when they look in the box, they read a question that says, "Are you 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven?" When they look up, we say, "Well, what do you think about that? Would you be 100% or 50 or..." A lot of times the young people would just shrug their shoulders. It is a sad, dark world we live in. In the 56 or so years that I've been in the ministry, I've watched the moral fiber of this country fall away from what we thought was darkness to real darkness. And we live in a world where wrong seems to be right, and right seems to be wrong, because the left is promoting the darkness of this world. And I'm not into politics. Don't take that left to be the wrong thing. But it is the fact that there are rules, there are people that are promoting a lot of darkness in this world. And God has given us the responsibility in this dark world to carry the gospel and to be the light of the world. I'm thankful my son Bob is here, and his daughters are here, and his son-in-law is here, and my great-grandsons are here. That's four generations if my math is correct, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful that God has given me a family that has followed the Lord and are looking for the will of God in their lives. Today, I've chosen that topic. We were asked what would we preach, and I said, "God, who am I in this dark world?" Have you thought about that? Who are you in this dark world? If this I know a little bit about the devil. I believe it was Martin Luther that said, I know there's a devil for two, no, it was Billy Sunday, I'm sorry. He said, I know there's a devil for two reasons. Number one, the Bible says so. And number two, I've done a little business with him myself. Amen? And so we live in a sinful world. But God has called out a church. God has called out a people. God has called to every man with that message to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are we? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 as we launch into the scripture this morning. Who are we? I want to say that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man? He said, ye are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may look, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, we look to you now and ask you to open your word and open our minds. May the words that come from the mouth of this preacher fall on the ears of the hearers, and may your Holy Spirit take hold and speak to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from you today because we are living in this dark world, a world full of sin, where right seems to be wrong and wrong seems to be right. Lord, we ask that today you would come and meet us and speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. If you are a child of God this morning, if you know that there was a time and a place where you came to the place where you knew you were a sinner and needed to be saved, and you accepted the sacrificial sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you did that, my friend, you have the confidence of the Word of God that you are a child of God. As many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I should hear an amen on that. God has chosen a way for the world to be reached with his gospel. And that is that your life so shine before men and they see your good work and glorify God. It is important that we understand that God has left us a task. God did not save us to sit. God did not save us to gather together in a morning service like this. God saved us that the world might know who Jesus is. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word, and that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If Jesus was a book, he would be this book. If this book was a man, it could be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect image of Almighty God. And that image he came and put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we might bear the image of Almighty God before the world. That's who we are in this dark world. Well, the Apostle Paul had an idea that he wanted to let the world know who the people of God are. Over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, we have a chapter that gives us over and over again of who we are. In verse 17 it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." You see, when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, we become that new creature by a new creation, by the will of God. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are new creatures, and old things pass away. And behold, it says, behold, take a look at it, behold, all things become new. Looking at it from a sinner's point of view, the world looks one way. But when you look at it from God's point of view, the world looks altogether different. Because of that responsibility he has given to us. You know, God made us workers. God made us workers. When he created Adam, he said, "Here's the garden. Here it is. You groom the garden." He didn't just put Adam in the garden and let Adam do whatever he wanted to do. He said, "Adam, you've got a job. Groom the garden. Take of every fruit of the garden except the fruit in the midst of the garden, that fruit of good and evil. Because when you take that, you're going to have an altogether different life." Likewise, when you take the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished sacrifice, allow God to take your sin and put it on his sacrifice, God says, "I'm going to set you free from that sin." People ask me, "How do you know you're going to heaven?" Because the Bible says so. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Didn't say it might be, or I could be, but I shall be. God has promised that I trust his Savior. I will be saved. Heaven is my home already. I'm just having a little trouble getting there in this old body. Tomorrow, I'll turn 77. How many of you are 77 or more? 82. Well, you've got a few years, haven't you? But we don't know how long we have. We could be gone in an instant. Jesus may come at any moment and take us all that know him as Savior. Look what it says. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." Then this passage, open the Bible and take a look at it. It says, "Wherefore, we labor that whether present or perfection, that we may be accepted of him. The child of God's goal in life is to be accepted of Almighty God. We are accepted not by who we are or what we do, but we are accepted by who we trust, putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask ourselves, who are we in the dark world? We are those that realize that, secondly, we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Someone said, maybe God won't judge us about what we did, but he might judge us about what we could have done. Think about that. What could you have done? What could you have done to have been the light of the world and the salt of the earth? What could you have done to help someone else get into the kingdom of God? We were at that event down in Flat Rock. I'm not sure whether, I guess it was last year. And we had these boys go skateboarding by. And someone said, hey, come look in the mystery box. They came and looked in the mystery box. And one of them said, well, I don't know. The other one said, I guess so. I'm sure that I'm going to heaven. And they encouraged the one boy to come in, the other come in to be the cheerleader. Pretty good, huh? You cheer while we give you the gospel. And we were sharing the gospel, and I said to the one boy, I said, you're not sure? Would you like to know? He said, yes. I said, the other boy, I said, you said you're not really sure, or are you sure? He said, oh no, he said, I'm sure. I did this last week up at the Emily City Fair. Amen? Let your light so shine before men. That one boy would have not probably been in the tent. He'd have been skateboarding by unless the other boy said, hey, take a look in this box. I like that. I like that when we encourage one another, when we encourage the lost. McDonald's is my special fishing hole. I go to McDonald's, get a cup of coffee, look at the crowd. And sometimes you see these faces in the crowd that are about this long, you know. They look like church members when they got here about 11 o'clock. And, but the faces about this long. You look around and you see that there are people in trouble. And one day, my wife and I were in McDonald's having our cup of coffee, waiting to get into a particular store to get my glasses fixed. And this guy came in, he's all down in the mouth. And I said, sir, are you all right? He said, no, I'm not. I said, well, why don't you come over here and we'll talk about it. Maybe we can help you. He got up, brought his sandwich, brought his coffee, came over to our table. We sat down and presented the gospel to him and told him about Jesus taking on his sin and told him about how he could receive a forgiveness of his sin. And he said, no, he said, I remember that from years and years ago. What's your problem, sir? Well, I got away from it. Now is the time to return. Just trust Jesus. Call on his name. Ask his forgiveness. He said, well, I haven't seen my children in 25 years. Well, why haven't you seen your children? Well, I made a bad decision, and my children haven't wanted to see me in 25 years. I said, are you sure your children don't want to see you? Or you just didn't go and find your children and find out whether they wanted to see you? He said, What a good idea. He said, I'm going to go home and find them phone numbers and see if I can call my kids. You know, we don't know what we're doing out there in that world. We don't know what the lights of the world is showing through our lives is going to do. But we need to talk to people, and we need to talk about Jesus, and we need to talk that there is hope in this world. My wife and I have talked to thousands of young people in the last few years. Young people come in the tent, old people say, oh no, I know all about that, yeah. And young people come in the tent because they tried drugs, they tried sex, they tried this, they tried that, they tried everything. And finally, someone comes along and says, hey, God's interested in you. They come and listen. About, I'm going to say 90% of the people, the young people that look in the box, come in to inquire in the tent about how to receive, what God says about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And of those 90 that come in the tent, 95 or 98% bow their head and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Maybe they've done it before. Maybe they haven't. I don't care. All I'm concerned about is that they're interested in Jesus Christ right now. Receive Him now. And literally thousands have come into that tent, came through that process. It says knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade them. We don't buttonhole them, but we persuade them. We persuade them because we have something that they need, and hopefully they will receive and want and receive. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Knowing the judgments come from God. Knowing that without Jesus Christ, they're lost forever. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages, the payment for our sin is death. But God says, the gift of God is eternal life. What's the best choice? Ask a young person that, they look at you with that big old question mark, and finally say, well, receiving eternal life. Duh. Boy, that took a lot. But you know what? Their minds are filled with so many things that we have to give God time to clear their minds. If I had time someday, I'd like to show you how to lead somebody to the Lord without fear by simply asking some questions and getting them to answer and shutting your mouth while they do. Because we have all the answers. We want to tell them all we know. Let them talk. You get a chance to tell them what you know. Because if you listen to them, they'll listen to you. Well, that's another sermon altogether. Look at verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all that they may live. Jesus died that we may live. We have to die to ourselves and our sin, receive the gift of God, and He has promised us life, eternal life. In verse 18 it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. He reestablished us with Himself. He reconnected himself with us. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only are we reconciled to Christ, but Christ has given us the responsibility of reconciling the world to him. What an awesome responsibility. As I crisscross this country, I find that there are people that are not concerned at all about using their life, using their testimony to reach people for the cause of Christ. All they do, they think that they are pleasing God by coming and sitting in the church pew, listening to the sermons, and going home and living life, not much change in their life. Let me show you something else. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God had beseeched you or begged you, by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you imagine? God looks at us now wearing his righteousness. Don't you suppose that that was the righteousness that was lost in the Garden of Eden? When God came to visit them in the garden and they were naked, what had they lost? They had lost the righteousness of God. And God sent Jesus to give it back to us and to robe us in his righteousness. And when he looks from heaven at us, he sees the righteousness that was bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and given to us. What an awesome God he is. I should have another amen, I think.
Amen.
Because God is an awesome God. And in these 56 or so years, I have watched him over and over again, miracle after miracle. He said, you are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? He's somebody that represents somebody else in a far place. We represent God in a far place. I'll tell you a story. We were in a pastor's meeting down in Avon Park, Florida. And we decided to go to lunch at this place, you know, that has a big buffet. And we got there, and the front of the place was full, so they put us in the back room. Go to the back room. People have been telling me, oh, I don't know, I might go to the back room or go someplace else. And, we went to the back room, and here were the preachers sitting over in the corner talking a little bit when, by the time my wife and I got there. We walked in, and there had to be 50 women with red hats in that room. Anybody here is part of the Red Hat Club? I didn't know what the Red Hat Club was. I'd been out of the country. I'd been off preaching someplace, and I didn't know there was a Red Hat Club. I came in there. Look at these red hats. There might be some kind of a Red Hat Club. The lady looked up. She said, yes, that's right. You want to be an honorary member? I said, yeah. They came over and put a hat on me. I had one of them women's flowery hats on. And they came and gave a hat to my wife, and she reluctantly put it on. And they took pictures of us and said, you're now an honorary member of the Red Hat Club. I said, wow, that's great. Let me share something with you. And so now, one of the young preachers got a whole bunch of gospel tracts and brought them in and gave
some kind of a dignitary or something?
She said, yeah, he is. Yeah. I am an ambassador for Christ. And you are too, if you know him as Savior, because he did not leave this job to just me. He left this job to all of us to get the gospel to the world. If people, in fact, are going to hell without Jesus Christ, it's high time we warn them and give them opportunity to spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord as we pray together. Father, I'm about to close this message. I'm about to get out of the way of the rest of the doings today. But Lord, I pray today for these people that they would get a vision of who they are in this dark world and how you want to use them in this dark world. The first time they lead somebody to Christ, it will bring excitement into their soul. The first time they hear somebody leaving darkness and turning to the light will bring joy to their soul. I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit might be speaking to this group this morning. I wonder, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder how many of you this morning might lift your hand and say, God's been speaking to me today. I'm not going to call you down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just wonder how many of you that God has been speaking to today about some of these things we talked about. Would you lift your hand and let me see your hand? God bless you and you. Yes. Are there others? All right. I wonder if there's somebody here today that would pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sin. You rose from the dead. And you're here to save me today. If you prayed that prayer with me in your heart, could I see your hand again? There is joy. Amen. 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 God bless you. Yes. Yes. There is joy in the house of God when people respond to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, now I pray that that person that raised their hand might turn to someone else and say, I raise my hand today because I prayed that prayer that I want to be sure that I'm ready to meet Jesus. And may that person that they tell find somebody, if they can't do it themselves, to give them assurance and help and stand alongside of them, because that's what a church does. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity for me to be here with these people today. Lord, they're so friendly and so kind, and we rejoice to be here. Now bless as we go on with the service, or dismissed, or whatever the next, Lord. Bless it in the name of our Lord.